Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Epiphany, we sing, "We three kings of Orient are." And we celebrate how the birth of Jesus in that moment has reached out to the nations. Later on, we sit with Jesus by a well in Samaria, talking to a woman who was included in all of Jesus' promises, as well as her town and all her people, Samaritans. Again, later on, we watch as a Syrophoenician woman begs Jesus to help her daughter, even allowing them both to be compared to dogs. And we see in today's gospel reading foreigners, Greeks, seeking Jesus, being brought into his presence and into his sphere. You see, for many people in Jesus' day, Messiah was coming as a promise to the Jews and for the Jews only. Even these outside people, the Magi, the woman at the well, the Syrophoenician woman, all of them, they knew, even as they were meeting and greeting our Lord, that they were making a big ask. They were diverting from the normal, from the typical, from the expected. But through it all, Jesus never misses a beat. His parents greet the Magi. Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman. And to others, he explains that while his first steps are for the souls of the house of Israel, Jesus never complains at the faith of the woman begging for help for her daughter. When Philip and Andrew bring his foreign guests in today's gospel story, Jesus concludes that now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Attracting these Gentiles is the culmination of his efforts. And so Jesus teaches them, he teaches the disciples, he teaches all of us what it is that we are meant to do as God's children. We're meant to be seeds. I don't know about you, but I remember in first or second grade planting the bean seed in the little Dixie cup and then sitting it in the window and watching it grow. You know, some of us were trying to put the seed in upside down as if somehow or another it would grow through the bottom of the cup. I don't know, but we are called to be seeds. And as seeds, we must die in order to bear fruit. We need to die to our selfish lives. We need to die to our exclusivity. We need to die to our need to be more important, more beloved, or more of anything. As we give up on our quest to earn something we don't deserve, our lives become blessed by God, and we bear fruit, fruits of the Spirit, and fruit of that love that comes to us from God for all people. This is Jesus' message to all around him on that day in Jerusalem, Gentile as well as Jew, longtime followers as well as people he newly met. But this teaching matches what Jesus has been telling us, that to be his followers, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It also stands with what we read last week when we heard that God so loves the world, all of it, every part of it, all of the people, every one of them. And because of that love, God sent his Son, Jesus, to save us all. This is the light that we see, and it is the light that we are called to reflect out into the world. This is how we are called to follow. In these last few weeks in our Lenten season, we have been listening as Jesus is preparing the disciples for the truth of the Messiah. It's not going to be what they had believed before. It's not going to be that God's chosen is going to come as a conqueror leading armies or leading a reform movement or chasing enemies out. For Jesus, the ministry given, the ministry that he has lived, is to bring God's love into every nook and cranny that he can find, to show to the outcast and the left out, to the people overlooked and tossed aside, that they are blessed by God, that God loves them, cares for them, loves us, cares for us, forgives us, remembers our sin no more, and then calls us to love each other. Jesus has never wanted to be a big splash. He was never looking to become famous or infamous. Jesus instead is trying to show the world how God's love works in lives like ours. It's why he became human. It's why he came to live among us, so that we can see the love of God work its way into the world. When Jesus was in the world, he listened to people, all people, men and women, Jew and Gentile, slave and free. Jesus also shows the care that God has for all of us, healing and feeding, curing and teaching, reaching into lives that have been forgotten, from lepers to tax collectors, from unsavory sorts to children. Jesus is bringing the blessing and the presence of God to people that the leaders of his world would never touch. Jesus, in his living and acting, shows us that the temple itself is not necessary for us to know and to see, to speak, and to hear from God. Jesus is coming to complete the covenants of old, but more importantly, he is coming to bring a new covenant, like Jeremiah was speaking of, a covenant in Jesus' love, by Jesus' love, where he will forgive our iniquity and remember our sin no more. As Jesus speaks to the crowds today, he shows us the depth and the breadth of God's love that he brings. Jesus knows that he will suffer. He knows that we will crucify him. But Jesus proudly proclaims that when he is lifted up, that is, when he is lifted up on the cross, he will draw all people to himself. His love for us is so powerful that he is even willing to die for us. And that love then will affect every person, whether they know it or not, whether they want it to or not. And as the Gentiles arrive in today's gospel, Jesus knows that this is true and it is time. This promise of Jesus to draw all people to himself is the grounding of our faith. We have hope and forgiveness and peace all from this promise of Jesus. We have faith, redemption, and salvation all from Jesus' willingness to die and rise, that we might have life, eternal life, that we might have lives filled with love from God. And so from the Magi, or those kings, to the common Greeks who come in today's story, from the peasants who make up the bulk of those 5,000 fed, to Samaritans and Syrophoenicians, we have access to God's love because of Jesus' ministry to all the world. I'm not Jewish. I'm a little Scottish, a little Danish, a little German to add the sour in there and stuff like that. But my hope comes from Jesus' ministry in the world. My hope comes like the hope comes to the people that we meet today. We have access to all of God's goodness and love because God has given it to us, all of us. God loves the world. God loves you. And because of the ministry, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, God forgives your iniquity and remembers your sin no more. This is our hope. This is the center of our faith, that we are saved by the grace of God through the faith of Jesus. So may we discover appropriate ways to share that love, to share our faith, to live as God's children and as followers of Jesus. May our Lenten journey continue to be blessed as we share those blessings with all the world. Amen.